Well, you can read what a writer wrote, but when you read their letters, there's certainly a common thread, but it's a different ballgame because the writer is addressing one person and not a diffuse audience of people you don't know who they are or in what era they belong in. Well, I had the pleasure of reading a book of Flannery O'Connor's correspondence. One thing that interested me about it is she speaks about her religious thought. She wrote in a letter that somebody said to her, your books are immoralist in the Gideon sense. And she says, no, you don't understand my work. My work is an expression of my Catholic faith. Well, it was interesting in her letters to see how she moved her position to counterbalance what she thought was something lopsided in somebody's perspective. Usually she felt she had to defend a religious perspective against other forces that sought to dismiss it or neutralize it. And she wrote, I'm tired of people dismissing religion as being nothing more than bad science. And she writes to a friend who she identifies only by the letter A, I'm not sure that I'm in very much agreement with you when you say that you're looking for a more emotionally satisfying faith. The idea of people lolling about in an emotionally satisfying faith is repugnant to me. Well, once she was being interviewed by a magazine, American Catholic Magazine, because she was, in the frame of reference being that she was categorized as a Catholic writer. And she only very begrudgingly in one letter admitted that she was not a conventional Catholic, which she hated to admit. But she wrote that it drove her nuts to see something in quotes in a printed interview that she never said. They said that I said, most Americans are such and such. Well, what I really said was most Catholics are such and such, but people hear what they want to hear. That's what went to print. I also said that most Catholics are militant morons, but I'm sure they won't be printing that in their magazine. I heard a BBC interview with Don Leslie, the inventor of the Leslie speaker.
Well, you can read what a writer wrote.
Now, he was
their letters,
an organist who is excited about
thread, but it's a different ball game
that it would be possible to have an organ in your own home.
Is addressing
some people did, but
person.
In an era when there were only pipe organs. Well, the Hammond organ was invented in the 30s, and he got one of the early Hammond organs. But when he took it home, he said he didn't like the way it sounded. It sounded dead to him, not the way it did in the showroom, which was more reverberant.
One thing,
and to make a long story short, he tinkered until he came up with a rotating speaker, a speaker that moves.
She speaks about her religious
space in a wooden cabinet. And this makes the sound to swim, kind of a mechanical sound processor before it was done electronically.
Your books
he
are
said he tried to do it electronically, but he said, for me, the thing
sense.
That made it sound good was that the sound was physically moving in space. People talk about the Doppler effect and moving the pitch up and down, but for me, it was moving
in
space.
Expression he said, of my Catholic
I'm not
faith.
An engineer. I was just trying to make the organ sound better.
Well, it was interesting in her letters to see.
Well, first
how
he started with 15
her
speakers
to counterbalance what she thought was something,
and they all moved around
in
the cabinet. He said he thought it sounded terrible.
Usually,
he felt
the amount of speakers
until he was down to just one speaker.
Perspective
Then he figured out he didn't even have to move the speaker. It could be stationary.
And you just move the horn that
I'm tired of people dismissing religion as being nothing more than bad science or
using brush contacts.
But he said he never had to
advertise.
She identifies only by the letter A.
They had an organ company.
I'm not sure
like that somebody was coming along trying to remove their product.
When you say that you're
but
looking
Hammond
for a
organ
more
dealers would sell them on the
faith.
Sly after they sold a Hammond organ, they'd say, "Well, there's something
the idea
in my
of people
basement
lolling
that I'd
about
like to show you
in an emotionally satisfying faith,
and fall in love with it, and
buy it."
He said, "I never spent a dime on advertising. I'm glad that he never allowed me
well,
to
once
buy
he was being interviewed
or to sell my invention to
by
him
a magazine,
so American Catholic magazine, because she was in the frame of reference being that she was categorized as a Catholic writer." And she only very begrudgingly in one letter admitted that she was not a conventional Catholic, which she hated to admit. But she wrote that it drove her nuts to see something in quotes in a printed interview that she never said. They said that I said, "Most Americans are such and such." Well, what I really said was most Catholics are such and such, but people hear what they want to hear. That's what went to print. I also said that most Catholics are militant morons, but I'm sure they won't be printing that in their magazine. I heard a BBC interview with Don Leslie, the inventor of the Leslie speaker.
Lionel Feininger.
What a writer.
He's an artist.
Now,
best
he was
known to be an abstract
an organist who is excited about, and I suppose the ones that
would be
he's
possible
best known
to have
for
an organ in your own
done
home
in the teens.
Some people did
in the 20s.
In an era when there were only pipe organs.
Well, the Hammond organ
was certainly a big influence in my life.
In the 30s.
And he got
my father was interested in his art, and he had bought some poster prints
home,
in the 50s.
He said he didn't
of
like
some
the
of
way
his
sound.
Pictures.
It sounded dead to him, not
and
the
he
way
had
the
posters framed.
More reverberant.
One thing
and
to
well,
make a long story short,
he tinkered until
sometime
he
sometime in the 1980s,
a speaker
I found
that
a Dover book
about her religious space in a wooden cabinet.
Which had reprinted comics that he made in 1906.
And this makes the sound
for the Chicago Tribune,
kind of a mechanical sound processor
before it was done electronically.
These beautifully illustrated, fantastical comics
that were
said,
surreal
me,
and dreamlike.
That made it sound
I had no idea that these things existed.
Moving in space. Yes.
And I got it
for
my brother.
In my work,
and sent it to him
down, but for
because I knew it would blow his mind.
He said,
I'm not an engineer.
I was just trying to make the organ sound
around 2010.
Well, it was interesting in her letters to see.
But first,
I found out that there was a recording published
something,
and they all
just
moved
in 2007.
He said he thought it sounded terrible.
Of
usually
organ fumes
until he was down
that
to
were
just
written
one speaker,
by Lionel Feininger.
Then he figured out
in the early 20s.
Move the speaker, it could be stationary. And you just move the horn that
I'm tired of people.
And I wanted to get a copy for my brother and send it to him and blow his mind.
Said,
well, it took a long time
for me to track that recording down.
Really,
until
I'm not sure
a month ago,
I was coming along trying to
remove
their
product.
But
how can this new recording
when
be so impossible to find?
Organ
dealers day of the internet,
to
fish anything out that
organ
was ever published.
The idea
in my
people lolling about
to show you.
In an emotionally
after I heard about this recording, there was a retrospective at the Whitney.
Glad that
first show of his since
interviewed or to sell my invention to him.
His lifetime.
American Catholic magazine.
He was born in the 1870s, died in the 50s. The
frame of reference being that she was categorized.
At the museum, they said,
Catholic
well, a lot of curators
writer.
Have trouble with Feininger.
They
and
don't
you
know
only category to put
him
in
one
is
letter.
He a painter or is he an illustrator?
That she was not a conventional Catholic.
Well, I guess for some people that's a dilemma.
Which she hated to admit.
Well, it was in that show I found out about the beautiful toys he made.
But she wrote that
for his sons.
For
every Christmas he would give them more little
quotes,
buildings, little people, little trolley cars.
Said. They said that I said.
And they called it the city
Americans are such
at the edge
such.
Of the
well,
world.
What I really said was most Catholics.
And it would
are
accrue
such such,
every year.
People hear what they want to hear. That's what went to print. I also
well,
said
a lot of fun
Catholics
for me
militant
morons, and my brother
sure won't be printing that
to
in
keep
magazine.
Finding this ever opening flower of new dimensions. Of one artist.
heard a BBC interview with Don Leslie, the inventor of the Leslie speaker.
Lionel Feininger.
Everyone is familiar with the idea to be of the flying car.
Who is excited about? And I
what's fascinating to me about it is not in your own flying car as an engineering feat.
In an era when there were
and
only
of course it has been done
certainly a number of times in my life,
decades.
And he got my father,
but that its real function is really a purely imaginary one.
He didn't have
something to excite the imagination in a way that really wouldn't bear out in what I'll call real life.
Sometime in the 1980s,
think, well, what is a flying car? Is it the same thing as a driving airplane?
Comics that he made.
Because a driving airplane is not as glamorous or as exciting
kind of a mechanical sound
as a flying car.
These beautifully illustrated, fantastic.
When I've seen photographs of flying cars that have been made,
I had no idea.
They resemble an airplane more than a car.
And I got it
from my brother. Kind of awkward-looking thing with the wings folded up in a kind of abrupt way. So you could take it out on the road and drive it. So it's a way that you could get from airfield to airfield without putting it on a trailer. But it would be a problem. It's really not functional as a car. It's not supposed to be functional. It's supposed to get you excited.
Organ fumes.
Now you've probably heard
recent years by Lionel Feininger.
So where's my flying car? I was promised as being a staple, traditional utopian fantasy,
and I wanted to get a copy
for such a long time.
And yet, it doesn't take much thought.
Well, it took a long time.
What a nightmare it would be for me to track that
everyone's car out there
could take to the air and clog up the atmosphere like locusts.
But how can this new recording be so
on think of the deadly accidents?
So it's really not an ideal to aspire to.
About to show you.
But we can dream.
After I heard about
the
recording, there was a retrospective,
and of course, that's where it belongs.
First show of his.
Now on the radio, you hear people who are proponents. Self-driving cars, which in a similar way, it's exciting.
Died in the 50s.
But do you really want to suffer the consequences
of that?
Well,
a lot of curators have trouble with Feininger.
I feel old-fashioned because
is he a painter? Or is he
all I can imagine is the nitty-gritty problems that you would have.
Well, I guess
how does the thing stay on the road? I've heard that
it gets its
orientation
from
painted markings.
Toys he made.
And geez, if I went by painted markings and that was all I had to go on, I'd be dead now.
People, little trolley cars. They said that I said.
And they called it the city at the edge of the world.
What I really said was most Catholics.
And it would accrue every year.
People hear what they want to hear. That's what went to print. I also
a lot, of fun for me and my brother to keep finding this ever-opening flower of new dimensions of one artist.
I heard a BBC interview with Don Leslie, the inventor of the Leslie speaker.
Lionel Feininger.
Everyone is familiar with the idea.
Sometimes I think about
car
as much as I would like to have work as a voiceover artist or an announcer.
And
of course, there's the problem that you'll be put in a position where you have to espouse something,
but that
it's real, think is false or wrong. But it's your job,
something to
excite. So it's your duty to do it. At the same time, it's your duty to refrain from doing it.
Bear out.
So I imagine things where they are, subtle, inconsequential falsehoods that I would not want to be in the position of publicly
driving
an
airplane. Comics that he made.
Because a driving airplane
case
is not
in point,
as glamorous. I remember hearing a commercial
kind of a mechanical sound
as a public radio, which in theory is non-commercial, but they have to have commercials.
When I've seen photographs,
some of their backing comes from
made
commercial sources, so they
resemble
kind of buffer it by not having them play a pre-recorded commercial, kind of with a jingle or what have you, but that the announcer gives voice to their text.
So you could take it out on the road and, in theory,
provides a buffer so from the advertiser from having contact with you, the listener, directly.
It would be a problem.
But in fact, it puts the announcer in the position of having to be a booster for this commercial interest.
Now, you've probably heard one recent year.
I remember hearing a commercial some years ago, and the announcer, after reciting the news, same voice says,
and I wanted to get a copy
all-wheel drive. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Doesn't take much thought.
And I thought, really?
Nightmare.
Just because they discontinued selling cars that only have two-wheel drive?
Could take months.
The primary attribute of this car is that four-wheel drive makes it that, whereas before it didn't, because you could get a simpler car before, now you can't. But then somebody had a bright idea. They changed the slogan. I'm sure you've heard it. Now the announcer, after reciting the news, says, love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
Proponents.
And I remember that struck me as just even more absurd than the first claim. I thought, geez, I don't know if I could do that. Although it's so whacked out enough, I probably could get off on making such a claim publicly.
Is he a painter? Or is he an electrician?
Well, of course, that reminded me of being a kid and hearing a jingle.
How does the thing
ginger ale tastes like love? Canada Dry. Ginger ale.
They would claim it tasted like love.
If I went and painted markings, that's all I had to go on.
Oh, isn't that asinine?
And yet, why don't more people do this? Claim that their product is love.
Americans are
at the edge of the world.
And
it would accrue every year.
People hear what they want to hear. That's what went to print. I also
a lot, of fun for me
wands,
and my brother
sure won't be printing that
to keep finding this ever-opening flower of new dimensions of one artist.
I heard a BBC interview with Don Leslie, the inventor of the Leslie speaker.
Lionel Feininger.
Everyone is
in a
conversation.
Idea.
Sometimes I think
last night
as much as I would like remind you of
about it.
How when Thomas Edison invented the cylinder recorder, the announcer, it was considered it was manufactured to be a dictation machine specifically.
But real function is false.
You record on the cylinder and listen to it in some stethoscope. That was the headphones.
To do it,
you know, a very direct mechanical stethoscope.
Refrain from doing it.
Bear out.
And someone
so
said to him, you should record music on these and sell the cylinders.
Well, what is
that I would not want to be. Edison was against it,
publicly
espousing. The idea bothered him.
Because a driving airplane
case
is not
in point,
as glamorous.
And he said, the Edison talking machine is not a toy.
Public radio,
I want it sold for business purposes only.
They have to have commercials.
When I've seen photographs
of their backing, but being a businessman, commercial sources, so they
kind of
buffed with RCA Victor, who started to put out music on disc
with a jingle.
So he,
but that the announcer
capitulated there, started to sell music on.
You could take it out on the road and, in theory, provides a buffer.
Well, of course, I love the idea of not a toy.
Contact with
things like toys or children's records or things that are made that are liberated from any burden of being utilitarian at all.
Now, you've probably heard
and since it's not considered seriously as an endeavor, there is this freedom for people who design toys.
I wanted to get a copy
because they are not considered to be important.
It's what makes a Subaru
a Subaru.
They are considered much thought
to be only for children, who in turn
just
are perhaps not considered
selling
to be important,
only have two-wheel drive,
like a grown-up.
That's
the primary attribute of this car is that four-wheel drive.
I remember seeing
that. Well, it's not an instrument
because you could get
and you could see it under the rubric of sound art.
But then
of course,
somebody
it was
had
created under
they
the rubric
the
of this is a toy,
now
a musical spinning top.
Where it
says, love.
Well,
I'd only seen
one
of these
Subaru
one Subaru. Time. A top that you
and I remember
that struck
you pump,
me as just
even more
of kind of a piece of twisted metal in the top.
Place.
It begins to spin, and there are holes, there are slots. Air rushes through it, and then you hear a major triad
publicly.
I didn't know how it worked. I only recently found out how it worked.
Well, of course, that
it had three reeds in it, like an accordion. I thought that the holes in the side were kind of like air scoops that functioned like a pipe organ, but they are not. The air is sucked in from the bottom and is expelled through the outer flange at the top. and makes this sound. And that's all it does. It makes this one sound, the triad.
And it would accrue every year. People hear what they want to hear. That's what went to print.
I also a lot, of fun for me and my brother to keep finding this ever-opening flower of new dimensions of one artist.
I heard a BBC interview with Don Leslie, the inventor of the Leslie.
I like to think about endeavors that everyone is in each end of an opposite spectrum, whichever end you're at, you are cheating. When Thomas Edison invented the cylinder recorder, well, one is, I think about memoirs and the pleasure I've gotten from reading people's memoirs. Yet, if I were to write a memoir, the first thing I think of is the objections that would be raised by people that I knew. Well, if you're going to talk about your life, you're going to talk about people in your life. If you're going to do that, there's going to be a problem. Cylinders. Someone will say, well, that's not the way it happens. That's not true. You never get to the bottom of it. But in that case, the part is that was not accurate.
Not a toy.
That does not bear a resemblance to reality. Or you made that up. That was a fabrication. Or your memory is playing tricks on you. Well, all of these problems can be eliminated by writing fiction. So if you publish the same book, which was supposed to be a memoir, and now you say, well, this is a novel, and of course it helps to change the names, now it is fiction. Now nobody can get on your case for it's not being true, because it's not supposed to be true, and there's a disclaimer in the front of the book claiming that the book is not true, and yet somebody could say, well, you cheated. This is not a real novel. This is not a fiction. You did not invent this. You did not create this.
It's what makes a super.
You're just a plagiarist, and you plagiarized reality and fobbed it off as your invention, your creation. And that is cheating. Well, the same could be said about composition versus improvisation.
And you could see it under the rubric of sound.
If you improvise, perhaps you have not done your homework. You did not prepare. You don't know the score. You did not slave ahead of time. What good is what you do if there was not a sacrifice of slaving ahead of time to prepare and show respect for your audience? Well, the opposite is true.
Air rushes through it.
Well, yeah, like so if you were composing, then you could be considered to be cheating by having an unfair advantage and not doing it live. It's not being fresh. It's having no immediacy. It's not being baked fresh like a fresh loaf of bread. It's something stale. And even worse,
from the bottom,
premeditated, spelled cold,
through the outer
calculating, top, heartless,
and makes this sound.
Because you prepared, because you had an unfair advantage of having this island of time outside of time to prepare all you want.
People hear what they want to hear. That's what went to print. I also a lot of fun for me and my brother to keep finding this ever-opening flower of new dimensions of one artist. Heard a BBC interview with Don
Andy Leslie. Warhol said, I like to think about, I love talk shows,
and of an opposite
because you get to see what the host's problem is. You are cheating. A couple of examples that I remember, the only ones were, this one's problem is, he wants to be a beauty. This one's problem is, he hates rich people.
I think of the objections that would be raised.
I think reading that book
that I knew
made me understand him much better than I had before.
If you're going to do that, there's going to be
and I often think about it when I listen to the radio.
Say, well, that's not the way it happens.
That's not because it's true that you never get to the when you have a broadcasting personality.
In that case, my part is there.
It's not preoccupations are
not
bear a resemblance to
reality.
What they're trying to pull.
You made that up.
That was a fabrication.
commercial
or once I had the pleasure years ago of listening to a fun drive. Well, all of these
down
problems
in
can be eliminated
in NYC by writing fiction now.
So if you publish the same book,
they had to fill up time.
Which was supposed to be a memoir.
So the announcer is Brian Lehrer.
And probably know as a chain kind of a talk show host, and
now it is fiction.
Jonathan Schwartz.
Now nobody
plays
music
case for it's not being
we're
true.
Speaking with each other
because it's not supposed to be.
Brian Lehrer says,
"Well, I'm here talking to Jonathan Schwartz,
the
claiming elder statesman of music."
Not true,
and yet somebody could say, "Well, you
cheated."
Schwartz bristles.
This is not a real
elder statesman.
This is not a fiction. You did not.
Brian Lehrer says,
"Well, you're the grand old man of music.
You're just a plagiarist."
And Jonathan Schwartz says,
"Reality."
Well, popped it off. I think it's kind of
funny
for somebody in his 50s to make fun of somebody for being in his 60s.
Well, the same could be said about
and this exchange went back and forth a little more in this vein.
And you could see it under the rubric of sound
if you improvise,
perhaps
until Jonathan Schwartz said,
you have not done your homework. You did not
oh, Brian, I see that slimy smile creeping up from behind
the
glass.
What good is what you do if there was not a sacrifice?
And then that was kind of the end of that argument. So they had this negotiation.
Show respect.
You be nice to me, I'll be nice to you. And then we can
the
have a nice conversation.
Air rushes
of,
through it.
Well, yeah, like, so if you were...
So they're talking about various
phenomena in radio over the years.
To be cheating by having an unfair advantage.
And the subject of Howard Stern came up.
It's having no immediacy.
I thought
that not
the
side were kind of
fresh. Brian Lehrer was kind of taking a pro-Howard Stern. Stance.
Even worse. From the bottom.
I kind of felt because he wanted
cold,
to contrast himself with Jonathan Schwartz and show him his
heartless
being
makes
folky.
Because you prepare
folky if
you
you're
had an unfair advantage
by Howard Stern
of having this island of time outside of time.
And Jonathan Schwartz wasn't buying it. He said, "I think he is a very intelligent man, and he can be funny. He can be funny, but what he has done and his spawn, he hated the spawn
of one artist."
There's a Russian
Eddie
word.
Warhol said,
"Chush."
I like to think about.
I love talk shows.
And
I don't
because
know
you get
Russian.
To see
I don't speak
what
Russian,
the hosts,
but I know
this
word.
You were
from
a couple of examples that I remember.
The writer
one is
Daniil Kalm's problem. Who wrote
he wants to be
in the 30s.
This one's problem
came to a bad end.
He hates rich
in the Stalin years.
The objections that would be raised.
I think reading that book
that I knew,
but he wrote at some point that he wanted to dedicate himself solely to Chush. Which
that is going to be on these.
And I guess it's a difficult
often
to translate
think about it when I
word,
to
which
it
roughly
well,
translates
to
nonsense.
That's
not because it's true, like
you know,
kind of a piece of detritus,
a broadcast
piece of crap,
or
something insignificant, something that nobody's interested in,
or what makes them tip,
that is not considered important.
You made that up, that was a fabrication.
For
once I had the pleasure years
and
ago,
I think about the
fun drive
idea of nonsense poetry
or
how since childhood I was really excited by and mesmerized by nonsense poetry. So-called nonsense
time
poetry.
Was supposed to be a memoir.
Because, of course, it isn't really nonsense.
But superficially,
and probably
it appears that way.
Kind of a talk show host
and
a good thing, too, because it makes it nobody
plays a case for it's not being true.
Mysterious in how it works.
Brian Lehrer says,
all evocative
Schwartz,
power.
Elder statesman of music,
not true.
Even if it doesn't have
say,
much
well,
Jonathan
cheated.
Direct.
This
is
not a real
elder
mind.
Statesman.
It's not
a
fiction.
You did not invent
right. Point
this.
Is right.
Well, you're the grand old man of music.
What makes
a super you're just a plagiarist.
I think of even the term theater of the absurd or absurdist.
Well, stopped it off. I think it's
well, I'm interested in those things. I never,
for somebody in
for some reason, liked the word absurd or not in that context.
Well, the same could be said about.
And maybe it's for a funny reason.
It's a dumb reason
in this vein.
Because when I hear the word absurd,
Jonathan Schwartz said,
have not done your homework.
A kind of picture comes to me
that
a slimy smile.
It's like
some kind of a silly looking parrot.
What good is what you do if there was not
which makes it undignified.
That was kind of the end of that argument.
And yet I feel like this negotiation.
Respect.
You be nice to me, I'll be nice to you.
Nonsense poetry
is not undignified.
Well, yeah,
and you certainly don't need somebody trying to tell me that
radio
isn't dignified.
She didn't know how it worked.
Whether it is or is not,
the subject of
Howard Stern came up. And so,
Well, maybe even because the
word absurd rhymes with bird,
pro Howard Stern. Stands.
Worse. It conjures this picture
kind
of a parrot,
and I think,
well, I might just be all alone in this association.
Show him his heartless.
Other people have totally different associations.
And then you think about how that applies to everything.
Having this island,
and then you realize how stranded you are,
said,
away from everyone else, and everyone else from each other.
And he can be funny. He can be funny.
But what he has done, and his spawn.
Don't forget that Duchamp says, you hang a painting on the wall,
everyone who sees it sees a different painting.
There's a Russian word.
Andy Warhol said,
chush.
I like to think about.
I love talk shows.
Topical subjects.
I don't know Russian.
And yesterday's news
word.
People get excited about topical things. Well, you just think, well, a topic can be anything.
There's this wide world of possibilities.
But with a so-called topical subject,
to a bad end,
it's much narrower because you're talking about something that's happening immediately, current events.
But he wrote at some point that
things that are happening now, and that's where you get into this idea of that which is old or old-fashioned has no worth, and only what is immediately now has authority or is worthwhile because it's happening now. If it's not happening now, it's yesterday's news. It's yesterday's news. Paper, which is a pile of pulp to be
considered
discarded.
You made that up. That was a fabrication.
And yet, if you haven't read yesterday's newspaper, it's just as good for you to read it today as it was yesterday.
Childhood, I was really excited by and mesmerized by.
But everyone else would be saying to you,
so-called
what rock have you been hiding under?
Because, of course, it isn't really serious, but superficially.
So, whether I should or should not, the idea of doing
and a good thing too, because it makes
everything being supported to something of topical interest seems oppressive to me. Everything outside of it is considered not to be relevant. Well, that's another funny concept, a specific concept of the idea of what is relevant, because it means that so many other things can be dismissed as being unimportant or not worthy of thinking about
or
talking about
or
for solitary study.
For some reason, liked the word absurd or not in that context.
I think of the times when I've been asked to play in concerts that have some sort of a theme.
Because when I hear the word absurd,
I prepare and make sure I'm really on topic.
I'm
on the theme. I'm always surprised at how almost everybody else in the concert just blows off the theme and disregards it. And I think, well, that's no fun. And yet, it was fun for me to have my endeavor funneled into this slot that you're working within that restriction. Of course, there's all sorts of liberty to be enjoyed within the restriction because
we
weren't looking everywhere else. But even the theme doesn't seem as tyrannical to me as the topical subject, even though I know I should just stop worrying about it and get over it. But today's topical subject is yesterday's news. So if one does feel tyrannized by its rain, it will not rain for long.
But what he has done, and his spawn.
Don't forget that Duchamp says, you hang a painting on the wall, everyone who sees it sees a different painting.